And so in the third stage, it's total free fall. There's no image about yourself that feels good or bad. There's no image whatsoever. You don't know if your relationship's going to work or not. In the first stage, you'll do anything to please your partner because you're afraid of losing the relationship. In the second stage, you have all these safety buffers, so in case the relationship fails, you know, you cover your ass or whatever. In the third stage, you just risk everything. You give moment by moment your fullest love. So in the third stage, if your partner hurts you, you don't do the first stage reaction, which is to close down, turn away, shut down, maybe punish back. Oh yeah, I'll show you. You know, that's a first stage reaction. Second stage reaction, if your partner hurt you, is to feel the hurt and want to talk about it. You know, like, now look, I want you to hear me. I'm really hurt right now. You're hurting me. You get that? Do you hear me? I hear you right now. You're being hurt by me. Is that it? Yes, yes, I'm being hurt by you right now. You know, and then you have these kind of civilized discussions that never go anywhere but absolute frustration. But at least they're more civilized than, you know, crashing his car because he pissed you off and
crashed your car today.
So the third stage response is when he hurts you, which he will, which everyone does, you know. In a third stage moment, you remain completely open to the best of your ability. You practice to stay open without closing down or turning away. So the possibility for love is still there. You stay open. You allow your heart to feel him. And maybe you're hurt. Maybe there are tears coming down your face. Maybe there's pain in your body. Maybe you're kind of nauseous and you're hurting. But you're wide open in love and you give him love. And that love might take the form of anger. Loving anger means you're feeling his heart as your heart, and you could still be angry with him. If you catch your child about to do something dangerous, really dangerous, eat some poison or something, you don't go, I'd like to express how I feel about you eating. I mean, you know, you love them so much, you just grab it, throw it down, you might even shake them and say, no, I love you. Don't, you know, the urgency of your love is such that anger, it's expressed as anger. Well, if he's being a real jerk, if he's doing something really unconscious, not that he ever does, you know, but that there might be a part of you that lovingly is angry, but you stay open. You don't get angry and close down and throw out barbs and you're not open to him. You stay open in your body, open in feeling, and you might still be angry. But if in the moment he came totally present with you and felt you, your anger would just be openness, because that's what it is anyways, but now he's present. So you could be angry and open. You could be sad and open, loving. So in the third stage, you allow your emotions to be expressed, but not like in the second stage where you learn to express what you feel, or in the first stage where you use them to punish, but you use them as a form of your flower. They're the scent of your flower. They're the expression of your openness. And the sign that you're open is that his presence, you instantly feel, and it's over. You don't keep, you know, he's going, okay, I'm here with you. You know, that's residue. That's first and second stage residue. If he's really genuinely open and with you, that's it. There might still be things to work out. You might need to talk about what happened. But you're doing it from that place of openness. So that's a third stage way of living a relationship, if that answered your question of the stages. Yeah. The question was about, you know, it's sometimes men cultivate their feminine, women cultivate their masculine to get what they want. And what happens if they cultivate it so much that the man's the feminine partner and the woman's the masculine partner? Well, if that is a true expression of their heart, those relationships work great. And there are relationships like that. In which case, the man you would physically see is the more radiant, open, flowing, has more clothes, more shoes. And the feminine, the woman, is much more directed, goal-oriented, focused, one-pointed, doesn't like to talk, doesn't like to linger, hates romantic things, two or three outfits, you know, wears the same one every day anyways. So that would be a true version of that. And we have worked with people like that, and everything I say totally applies to them, because one of them, the man, is genuinely coming from his feminine essence, and the woman is genuinely coming from her masculine essence. Now, that's about, to me, I think less than 10% of people are like that. But for those 10% of people, that's the natural, true way. For everyone else who's in that situation, it's a temporary situation where the woman has cultivated this masculine because she felt she needed to, but that's not her deepest fulfillment. So, and the same thing with the man. The man's cultivated this flow, but he also feels lost in his life. He doesn't really know why he's alive, what his deepest gifts are, so he hikes. And so, in a relationship like that, That's a doomed relationship because neither of those people are coming from their deepest heart. They're coming from a temporarily cultivated strength, which is a good thing to cultivate. So they can still stay together and both continue to grow by relinquishing false shells of masculine or feminine and learning to come from their deepest essence in intimacy. If they don't learn to come from their true essence, then those shells keep interacting, which is never fulfilling because they're only masculine or feminine shells. They're very superficial. And even though the woman is working all the time and goal-oriented and focused, her heart is going, God, I'd like my man to just take me. No, can't think that. But meanwhile, what her body is showing is like, no, 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 no. And the guy is like, goes, well, I could be with that or that. That's a lot easier. And he'll flow out and enjoy nature. So, but meanwhile, his heart will feel like, well, that was a great day. Yeah, yeah. But inside it's like, this is it? You know, this is life? It's complete? This is the purpose of existence? And any masculine person has an ongoing comparison, not about their intimacy. Masculine people... intimacies are always secondary, but masculine people in their core are always asking, is this what I'm here to do? You know, is this my purpose? Am I deeply successful at what I'm deeply here to do, or am I failing? And that is the masculine heart's question. And only when the masculine heart is aligned with their deepest sense of purpose can a masculine person be in an intimacy fully. Otherwise, he feels an emptiness in his heart and in his life, and blames it on you. Because the feminine's blamed for everything. We won't have time to go into it today, I don't think. But if you haven't noticed, masculine people will always blame the feminine. But anyways, so what he'll feel is he'll feel like your demand for attention in the relationship, not only does he not know what he's doing in his life, but your demand's a burden. And he'll want out of that demand because the sense of the masculine in his heart is to be free. Men, the masculine, wants nothing more than freedom, utter freedom. And so it attempts to get financial freedom, political freedom. I mean, men will literally give up their lives for freedom. They will fight wars where they know they're going to die probably for the sense of freedom for their country. The motivation to be free and to provide freedom is so great that men historically have given up their lives as individuals trying to create financial freedom for them and their families, you know, heart attack, stress, or they've given up their lives on the battlefields in order to create freedom for their country. The masculine goal, period, is freedom. Now, if a man is living from his deepest purpose, that is freedom. Because the sense of freedom, it comes when you're absolutely giving your deepest gift with no fear, no closure, to live as consciousness, to live open as the world, offering everything. That's utter freedom. That's what every masculine person needs to feel in order not to feel constrained by life. And life is feminine. So when a man feels trapped, he blames the feminine for trapping. Just leave me alone. I need time by myself. I need out of this relationship. I need to go hike by myself. I need space, you know. Take care of yourself. You know, the relationship's not everything. You got to learn to be by yourself. Have friends, you know. I don't know. Have any of you ever heard these kind of things? So, but really what he's saying, if you could feel deeply, or if you could feel it from the third stage, is I am not living my deepest purpose moment by moment, so I feel trapped by my own failure. And I don't know how to do it any better, so I'm going to blame you and everyone else who makes me feel trapped. But women can't trap a man who's full in his gift. Neither can nature. Neither can utter failure. Men, as they grow, would gladly give their life in the giving of their gift. And do. They don't care. They don't consider the outcome of what they're doing. It's a sign of a second stage man if he always wants something back for what he does. It's a sign of a first stage man who has to do what he's doing in order to feel good about himself. Second stage is like, well, I could help the world. I'm going to serve my community. Now, if he starts trying to help the world and serve his community, and the world keeps falling apart and the community hates him, he feels beaten down by that. And he gets burnt out, second stage burnout from like trying to help. But in the third stage, you realize, just like I did earlier with this woman, that resistance is the feminine play. There's no, you can't beat the feminine. It's not even an issue. Better to be amused by the dance of the feminine and offer your deepest gift. And so the third stage masculine doesn't blame his partner for his lack of utter freedom moment by moment. He doesn't blame anyone. He knows he's either doing it or he's not. He's either giving his gift or he's not. So if a man is genuinely has a feminine essence, 10% of men, then in a relationship, he will genuinely be giving his true gift as the feminine partner, creating light in the world, creating light in his home, creating light in the relationship, offering love. If the woman is genuinely has a masculine essence, as you're describing, then she will genuinely feel her deepest gift is kicking butt. Her deepest gift, what gives her the deepest fulfillment in life, is facing death and giving everything at the edge of total challenge and death. That's where the masculine comes alive, whether it's gambling, whether it's financial death, you know, playing the stock market, playing the edge, doing big contracts that could fail, or politically living at the edge, or spiritually meditating at the point of emptiness where you're at the edge of ego death. The masculine thrives at the edge of death. Even just watching race car on TV is like, yeah, boxing, you know, it's like, oh, they feel it, they being right at the edge. If the feminine partner, if the woman likes that, if she prefers boxing to love stories, if she prefers playing the stock market to making love, that kind of thing, then she has a genuine masculine essence, and those two people will do great together. Otherwise, they're faking it, and they're going to feel fake, and they need to grow to the next step and release those shells and give their gifts from their true essence. The greatest gift you could give the masculine is support of his mission. If a masculine person is totally involved in their true mission, and they're thirsty, they won't notice it, because masculine people are so one-pointed that they'll be just totally giving their gift at the expense of everything else. And then you bring them a glass of water, put it in their hand, they'll like, whoa, thank you. And that gift of supporting their mission is what they want to feel from you to them, in addition to what I talked about before, which is primary, which is your radiance, your light. So if you are open and radiant, and if you somehow offer them support for your mission, their mission, not say, hey, I support your mission, see you later, but actually give, it could be little things again. I'm not talking about giving up your life. I'm literally talking about giving them a glass of water in the middle of their mission. It's the little things that count. It's not that you have to give up your time and your life. I'm talking about they're hunched over working, and you spend 2 minutes touching their shoulders. You know, they'll go, they don't even remember they have shoulders at that point. Your gift to them is to remind them they have a body, that they have a heart, that there is an earth, that there are others, and you remind them that by attracting them into the domain of the body, into the domain of heart, into the domain of energy. So you use all of the senses. The way you dress, the way you speak, the way you touch them, the way you make your home or their home, all of those things are ways that you can use your feminine to draw this man into his body so he can feel his heart in the giving of his gift. So if you'd prefer not to do that, then you don't want a masculine man, and you want a feminine, more feminine man who will do that for you. Yes?
Since we all have both masculine and feminine within us, isn't it better to try to flow with the situation as it is? Say, for example, that my partner is coming from her masculine, then I would move into my feminine. Or if she were in her feminine, then I would move into my masculine. I guess I just have a problem with this idea of one person being more masculine and one person being more feminine. It just doesn't ring true in practice to me.
You want to find out how true it is? Simple yes or no will do. Okay. How many women in here, I don't know how to say this at this point. Were you turned on by what he just said? Would you trust him? When you're in your masculine, he's saying he wants to move into his feminine. Is that what you want? Raise your hand if that's what you want, women. If that when you're in your masculine, you want your man to move into their feminine. Now raise your hand if what you want when you're in your masculine, that your man becomes more masculine than you, lovingly, but more. Okay. That's the problem. My opinion is that you're actually pretty extremely masculine, but because of some past experience, as you said, you don't trust the masculine. You don't have a good sense of what the masculine is. And so you're very powerful in your masculine. What I feel is that you're holding back your masculine by talking about how you genuinely and heartfully, and I could feel your loving intent in it, wanting to make this kind of balance or reciprocity between masculine and feminine, but actually, you could create so much clarity and freedom in the world if you trusted the strength of your masculine and offered that with tremendous love to the people in your life. I think that that would be a truer expression of your particular essence, personally. I don't know. Ladies, raise your hand if you like that idea. Okay. What I'm suggesting is, one, you're not yourself, but you open even wider to encompass everyone, and you allow the differentiation between people that allows the greatest opening to occur. Now, in the second stage, balance creates the biggest opening. Everyone wants to be the same. I'm not saying you're saying this. I'm just going through it again. So in the second stage, you want evenness. You want someone's in their masculine, you move in your feminine. That's what you do. So when a woman goes, let's do this tonight, if someone in their feminine would go, sure, okay. And that reduces conflict. But what 80% of women want is for you to go, hey, that sounds great, but I want to take you here. And let... They want to feel that you feel them, you're feeling them, but you will not weaken your truth for theirs. Because something that you'll learn, or maybe you already know this, is that most of what a woman says in intimacy has no bearing, no validity value whatsoever. They're saying something they feel in the moment. They would feel totally different in the next moment if you were different. They'll go, I don't want to go to a movie. And so if you go, okay, she doesn't want to go to the movie. That's it. You don't go to the movie. But she might be actually saying, I feel like shit. But what she's saying is, I don't want to go to the movie. So if you hear, I don't want to go to the movie, and you went, okay, and you took her and you tickled her and you put her down on the couch and you bounced her around and you danced around with her, you looked in your eyes and you told her how much you loved her, and then said, I'm going to spend a little time here and then go to a movie. Her answer may be completely different. And so when you listen to what a woman says in intimacy, not in business, not in politics, not in social situations where we have to neutralize everything for everyone's good, but in intimacy, basically everything a woman says is, enter my deepest heart and open me to infinity. That's all she's saying. So you can hear the ladies agreeing, right? Now, there are other practical things that she says, but most of what she's saying is that. So everything she says is that. So if you just did that, instead of playing the feminine when she's in her masculine, you'd actually be enlarging the depth of your hearts. You'd be touching her much more deeply than she is inviting. She doesn't want to have to tell you what to do. She doesn't want to have to, okay, he needs me to be this way before he'll open me. You know, she wants to actually, you know, and this is in the way of the superior man. I go into this in great detail because it's one of the biggest learnings of men. Nothing is more erotic to a woman than feeling that she can't collapse a man. And so she will test you continuously. She will undercut everything you try to do. She will pull the plug on your whatever you want to call it, you know, your wah. She will argue with you and disagree with you simply to feel like she was doing. Did you? I don't know if you saw how happy she became when I kind of, you know, it's like I listened to her, but, you know, I'm not going to play that game. So I just felt her heart and addressed that she was really at, and she feels that and she wants that. But she would only enjoy that by giving me that resistance. She has to feel, the only way she'll gain trust in me is feeling that her resistance doesn't close me. The feminine has to, this is from the masculine perspective. I'm not saying you feel this way, ladies, but this is how it feels to the man. The masculine, the feminine has to test you, has to try to collapse you over and over and over in order to see that you're uncollapsible and open and surrender and trust you. Why should she trust you if she could collapse you? If her moods bend you, if she knows when she's in her masculine, you'll be in your feminine, why would she trust you? She wants to feel she could be anything and you will open her heart as deeply as possible. But that's your practice and her practice. So What you will get with the way that you're speaking, if you lived by that, are 50-50 women, are women who genuinely don't want to be in their feminine most of the time, who genuinely want a relationship of equality, not ravishment, who want a relationship of with a man who doesn't interfere in their life very deeply. And, you know, there's probably a lot of women like that here.
But couldn't it just be the 50-50 resonating in a different way?
Could be. But I'm saying they want to be interfered with in their third stage heart. They want to be ravished. They want, I mean, and I don't mean just sexually. I mean spiritually primarily. They want to feel, as I think was demonstrated earlier today, that deep women want to feel that they can't make a man collapse or stop. They want. It's like, have you ever seen a woman go in their door and shut and say, "Leave me alone"? And they're, you know, they're dying for the guy to come through the door. But if you listen to what she says, which is what you're supposed to do in the second stage, you know, she says, "Leave me alone." Okay, leave me alone. Then she's like, "Bastard!" You know, she hates that. So if every time a woman says, "Leave me alone," you went into your feminine and just kind of flowed with it, she'd hate it. If she's in her third stage, she'd love it. If she's in the second stage, so. You have a very strong masculine. I mean, I can feel it in you. And when you learn to trust it, the kind of women you attract will be women who want to open to very strong masculine instead of women who want to be their own masculine all the time. Is that okay, or is there more? Okay. Yeah.
How does a man achieve an appropriate amount of freedom without jeopardizing or harming the relationship, and at the same time, figure out a way to lessen the displeasure of a woman not wanting him to be too free?
We okay on time there? That was a great question. I'll repeat it in a simplified form for everyone, but that was a really good question. That's the essence of it. First of all, the book, The Way of the Superior Man, is all about that if you want to have a resource. Kind of like a ball of string, and you got to start pulling somewhere, but it's almost random where you start to unravel the whole thing. So I'm just going to start somewhere. Are you in an intimacy? Is that your partner next to you? Okay. Possibly. Possibly you will leave the room. But let me ask you a question, then. You don't have to answer any of these. I mean, I'm just trying to help. If your man felt a really deep truth, something he really needed to do, and he felt it was best for him and best for you and best for the world, I mean, if that's what he really felt, he felt into his deepest heart, and he feels this is going to be best for you, whatever it is, something he has to do, this is going to be best for him, and it's going to serve the world, and he truly, genuinely felt that in his deepest heart, how much would you want him to bend that for you? Right. Now, let me ask you another question. How much, let's say that demanded him leaving the, like going to Moscow for 6 months. I don't know, I'm just making something up. He has to go to Moscow for 6 months and leave you alone for 6 months to do that, but you understood that that was necessary for him to do this thing that was best. How much, you know, you probably wouldn't like that much, but how much would you want him to bend that in that situation? Would you want him to not do his deepest truths so he would stay with you? Okay, so where would you want to put the bounds? When would you want him to deny his deepest truth of what would serve you and him and the world in order to make you happy?
Well, if it's truly his heartfelt bottom line, then I would want him to do it regardless of how long it takes or anything else.
Okay, so, thank you. What that means is that when you do it, she will give you hell. And what she expressed is truly how she feels, both. She truly needs you. She can only trust you and respect you and love you, really. I mean, what she loves about you, I'm sure, is this authenticity in you. That's something you love? I mean, so your honoring of that truth in yourself, which will hopefully also encompass her greatest good and everyone's greatest good. It's not a selfish truth. It's the biggest truth you can feel. Is why she's with you. Your capacity to align your life, and therefore her life and everyone's life, with that deep truth is why she's with you, really. And if you betray that to make her happy, superficially, because that makes her the most happy, she will feel you being weak. Now, as I said, she's not going to be happy necessarily in the moment with what you're doing. So she'll go, God, you have to leave again, you know, because she doesn't want you to go, but deeply down, she needs you to live your deepest truth that takes her into account. So you need to develop the strength to continually feel, and I mean this fresh in the moment, is this the deepest I can live? Is this the deepest truth I could live from? Is this best for me, for her, and for everyone? Yes. Then you do it. Period. If someone's going to kill you for doing it, you do it. If she's going to leave you for doing it, you do it. As I mentioned the other night, in all these Harrison Ford, just one of the sexiest men in the world, so I'm using him a lot. In all these Harrison Ford movies, he plays a CIA agent who's retired, and he's married, and he's got kids, and they have this great family, and he gets called to service, and he goes, I got to go, and she goes, well, I'm not going to be waiting for you, you know. And he goes, well, I have to do this. And of course, you know, he does it, he saves the world, he comes back, and she's wide open, even though she complained the whole way. You know what I'm talking about? That's her. So that's what she wants you to be. She wants you to be the kind of man who lives from that depth of truth. But to do that as a man means refreshingly always feeling, is this the deepest? Because tomorrow, what you thought was the deepest truth today may no longer be true. You might have deepened. You need to feel for you what your deepest purpose is. And if these business trips further your deepest purpose in the way we're talking about, then they're essential. If they're not, if you're doing them, and this is where the tricky part comes in, this is where the measure of true third stage practice comes in, this is where the measure of how far the two of you are willing to open is actually measured. How about if you felt into it and you realized you spent the last 15 years of your life building a business that to now doesn't mean anything to you, that now is just meaningless to you? It takes huevos, you know, it takes balls to say, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how I'm going to support my family. I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills, but I know I must live true to my deepest gift, and this isn't it. And I can guarantee you that if she truly loves you, your deepest truth, she will stay with you through the period of whatever, poverty or whatever, that it might take until you rediscover your true gift and give that with as much integrity as you're giving now. If she doesn't stay with you, would you really want to be with a woman who's only with you because you're at your job? No. So you need to feel how far you are willing to go in checking out your deepest purpose. If the business trips or whatever personal things that you're doing are part and parcel of that, they're expressions of that, they're necessary to unfold this purpose, then you're right on and you need to do them whatever, regardless of how she reacts. However, if it's not your deepest purpose, she will complain and you better listen to her, because she will know whether you're living your deepest purpose a lot more than you are. She's much more aware of, you might feel all puffed up, you know, made $1 million today, but if it's not true of your heart, she'll go like, you know, Dad, did you bring home the milk? You know, and they go, what do you mean? I made $1 million. Yeah, well, you said you'd empty the garage yesterday and you didn't do that. And you'll feel like, I just made $1 million. What are you complaining about? But again, what she's saying isn't what she's feeling. What she's feeling is, great, you made $1 million. That has nothing to do with your deep heart. It has nothing to do with our love. It's some wacko masculine beat off ambition of, you know, and she might like $1 million, but if that keeps up, you know, she'll feel like, well, who are you? You know? So on the other hand, if you make $1 million, that is part of giving your deepest gift, and, you know, she will just embrace you and feel like, you know, $1 million is kind of irrelevant. She feels you living your deepest gift. And I think you want a man like that, yeah? Yeah. Well, you have a man like that, clearly, so far. One sec. So, any other questions about this? Or I don't know if I answered in detail enough way for you. Can you ask a more detailed question and I can answer?
Well, I just don't want to be hurting her feelings all the time.
Yeah, that's your weakness at this point in your life. Do you have children?
No.
Sometimes when you're raising a child, you have to do something that hurts them, but it's actually really good for them. There are some moments. And there's moments like that in all of life that sometimes people get hurt and grow from it. Sometimes your truth hurts. And if you are going to hold back your truth because it hurts, you're going to be a weakened character. You're going to be always careful of how other people are reacting, which is the second stage thing. You always make everything nice. You always make, you know, you want harmony. Harmony is the second stage ideal, and harmony is a sign you're doing things right. But anyone who opens their eyes sees there is no harmony. I mean, there's harmony in the biggest possible picture, but I mean, sometimes it rains for 30, 40 days in a row. I mean, but that's part of a bigger harmony, but in the moment it feels like rain, you know? So you might rain, you know? You might again, it's sort of like the man in the back was asking before. You have a deep strength, and you're expressing it. You both are expressing. You have a deep masculine strength. You have a deep sense of integrity. You're just a little reluctant to live it completely because you know it will hurt some people if you do. And all I'm saying is that my experience is that if you take that risk and stay connected in your heart to their hearts as you take that risk, everything opens even farther. It does hurt temporarily. Things might even fall apart a little bit, but then it opens even greater. Because you're living a deeper, greater truth, and you're inviting all those around you to. And if they hurt because they're holding on to something, do you really want to hold back? You might, and that's the second stage. And then at some point, you just can't anymore. You just go, I can't live holding back my gifts. I can't live faking it. I can't live smaller than I lovingly am. And you're, and he too, are very strong men, and have a lot of integrity. And we have such a second stage culture where it's, you're not supposed to hurt people, you're not supposed to make people angry, and you're supposed to be nice and create harmony, that it's, I understand why you're expressing, and I've gone through this many times myself, but you have to at some point feel, the question, the single most important question is, if you were going to die tomorrow, have you lived today so that you can die with a smile on your face, knowing you've done everything you could have today? Or would you look back and go, you know, I held back a little because I was afraid of hurting someone. It's that question, what do I need to do today? What do I need to do or be in my life so I can die at any moment in my life complete, knowing I've given everything, lived fully? If you can ask that question of yourself and answer it genuinely, honestly, that's how you need to live, by answering that question daily through your actions. And that's what she will love in you. It's what she does love. Yes.
I understand dependence, and I understand independence. What is interdependence?
Well, it's one way of describing it, it's the third stage as I'm describing it, that we are all giving our deepest gifts spontaneously, feeling each other. You know, I do this for a living, but I do it even before I did it for a living. This is all I've ever done all my life. And it's my gift. I love doing it. It's not even a gift. I can't not do it. I do it if I'm sitting at dinner and someone's sitting with me at dinner. I mean, I'm just, this is what I do. Okay? I don't know much about cars, but I know people who do cars like I do this. And they do it whether they're paid to do it or not, just like I do. I mean, it's their love. Well, what happens in the third stage is you get people doing what they love to do, and it just turns out that we're all one body. And there's an interdependence where he can fix my car because he loves fixing cars and I pay him to do that. And I can do this for him and he pays me to do this. And I don't know what you love doing, but we each contribute what we love doing, not what we love doing superficially, not what we love doing comfortably necessarily, but what we feel compelled to do because we're checking in with ourselves. The masculine question is, you know, what do I need to do or become before I die so I could die complete? And if you're living from that place, everyone benefits. And everyone, you're benefiting from everyone else who lives from that place. And that's what true interdependence or third stage society is.
As a woman, I have to do the same thing that you were describing for my partner, right? I have to find what is the most important thing for me and do that.
Exactly. Which you could only do when he is, too. I mean, as a couple. Now, just so you can understand this, the core of the masculine is the sense of mission and purpose, but the core of the feminine is always love, even if they also have a very strong mission or purpose. So the gift of the feminine is love itself, is the power of love, the power of nature, the power of light. And the more you're doing what you need to do fully from your heart and offering her your complete presence, the more she can trust that part of you and open and give complete love and receive love fully, and then discover her unique gifts and how to give and receive that love, which is her way of doing that, which I'm sure you're familiar with somewhat. And she's also going to grow into in other ways, just as you grow into in other ways as you grow on. But like you say, as she said beautifully, she already knows. I mean, this is a masculine discussion we're having now. The feminine, if someone's truly in the feminine, she knows in her heart what she needs to do, who she is, what light is. It's the masculine question of like, and if you do this, you know, got the manual for that? You know, it's like, but I'm with you on it. Okay.
If he goes to Russia for 6 months, following his masculine purpose, then maybe she might use her own masculine to do something like go over and visit him on her own accord in order to resolve that tension. Is there anything wrong with that?
Everything you set up to resolving tension was fine. She's absolutely free to use her masculine or feminine however she wants to bring love and light and freedom to the world. And to the relationship. And he is too. I mean, they're both apps. The third stage is that there are no roles. The third stage is that it's not that men do one thing and women do another. It's that each individual needs to fully express their deepest gift. And those gifts do come in masculine or feminine flavors. So often we need to give ourselves permission to give more masculine or more feminine gifts. Not always, though. So sometimes she might need to come from her masculine to offer her deepest gift. That's a great thing. If she's doing it to resolve tension, she's in the second stage. It's a very good point you're making. Let me refine this, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back. So the third stage is not about feeling what is and changing the situation to make things better. That is what the second stage is all about. The third stage is about giving your deepest heart as everything dies. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, which is a classic Christian third stage moment, he didn't go, hey, take me down from here. This hurts. It hurt, but his heart was, you know, in the iconography at least of it, you know, his heart is open and he's giving his gifts. He's radiating love. Mother Teresa, more recently, say, I mean, she had a pretty bad posture problem, eh? You know who I'm talking about? Of Calcutta. So she's walking around serving lepers. She's probably in a lot of physical pain. The lepers certainly are in a lot of physical pain. But she wasn't there to like feel better about herself. She was there to give a gift. There are Vincent van Gogh, say, probably wasn't the most cheerful, open, tension-free person in the world, but he gave a great gift. What the third stage is, and this is a really different kind of value than the second stage, is not what feels the best, not what reduces tension, not what reduces conflict, but literally what magnifies the openness of love the most, which could be excruciatingly painful. It could result in death. You know, if you look at great saints, great artists, great politicians, they frequently gave their life for the sake of their gift. They did not try to fix themselves or fix others. They gave their gift. Now, you can do both. I'm not saying you should like stop taking care of yourself, but in the third stage, giving your gift takes priority over taking care of yourself. And that's the difference. In the second stage, you get a bunch of people, whatever, with nice clothes and nice cars, and they do a lot of therapy, and they're healthy, and they go to workshops, and they have good relationships, and they have, you know, extended orgasms, and they enjoy life, and they're trying to make the planet nice and reduce pollution and improve the environment, and like their own body. And all those things are wonderful things to do that have nothing to do with opening his love. Some of those people are very uptight, closed people with lousy relationships and very unfulfilled. The next step is to realize that although all those things are great, you got to do something, and you might as well be healthy and help the world. That's great stuff to do. If you personally want to live your truth, it means opening just as the world is, just as you are, and giving your deepest gift and your deepest love, even if the world doesn't change, even if you get sicker for doing it. You know, there's no way to tell in the scheme of things whether humans are even meant to be on this earth for so long. I mean, we really don't know. All we could do is live from our deepest truth and heart and find out whether we are sustained or are wiped out. But I wouldn't want to like reduce all of our gifts to try to sustain something if we're going to be hit by a meteor in 3 years anyways and disappear. We need to give our deepest gifts and take care of things as we can, but we need to prioritize now, in the next stage of humanity, giving our deepest love, our deepest consciousness in relationship, but also in our professions and so forth. We're ready for that. The earth can sustain everyone on it now if we would evolve to the place of we are all one.